As you know, we always check in with a member of the NDP caucus once a week here on the Trending 55 hot seat, and this time we are checking with the head of the NDP caucus, the leader of Her Majesty's official loyal opposition and former Premier, Rachel Notley. Madam Premier, on that note, thank you for joining us today.
It's good to be here. I hope everyone's doing well there.
Well, so far, good start to the day. Can't complain. And I guess the first question I have is, we always like to talk a little bit about personal interests. And, you know, anyone keeping an eye on you on social media knows about all your dogs, especially the little one, Johnny Cash. How's he doing?
Well, he is not so little, I tell you. We weigh him once a week, so we'll be doing that in a couple days. But he last clocked in at 50 pounds. And he's only about 4.5 months. So I think we accidentally adopted a bear. he's a very friendly bear. He does things if you imagine all the stories around Winnie the Pooh, he'll find stuck under things or in things because he will have grown since the last time he tried to be in there and he can't get out. But yeah, no, so he's super fun, but super big and projected at this point, based on his current weight and age, to be bigger than me. So I keep reminding my husband that we've got to get him fully trained before he gets to be my weight, because I am not going to try to negotiate with him.
No, fair enough. And I think I've also seen another dog in there. What's the other dog's name? As much as we love Johnny Cash, there's another dog there, and I love the animals. Who's the other pup?
Oh yes. Well, just to be clear, I mean, Tucker is the first dog, and has his own fan base. So Tucker is our other dog. He's 12 years old. He's a rescue as well. He lost his leg before we got him, so he's been a three-legged dude for as long as we've had him. And you wouldn't know if you sometimes, because he's got the long tail feathers when he's well groomed, and people often don't even notice that he's missing one. And so he's getting used to his new brother, and only tries to eat him every second or third day.
Oh, that's too cute. That's got to be a lot of fun. Now, next question, I got to say, you did spend a lot of time in our region, and a few listeners actually pointed out this small white house outside of the Fairview area, which you were raised. What do you remember about that house and growing up in Peace Country?
Well, I mean, of course, the house, I still remember when my mom and dad built it there almost on the side of the Peace River Valley, just sort of the ravine, just intersecting with the, right above Dunvegan. People in Fairview used to laugh, saying, oh, well, the Notley house is going to fall into the river anytime. And I think it did collapse while they were building it, the basement, and they had to redo it. But anywho, it was a beautiful place to grow up. I remember walking up to catch the bus at, sometimes 7 o'clock in the morning and riding the bus home, and right before we got home, looking out the window to see that our horses had once again broken through our fence, and getting the bus driver to let me off, like a mile or two from home, and then going to collect the horses on my way home. So, it was a good place to grow up, and very beautiful, such beautiful views there. It's quite stunning.
I have full agreement here on that, for sure. And I also have to say, I guess on the political note, is that the party has mentioned several times about the $4 billion corporate handout. And we saw last week in the legislature that the finance minister said something along the lines of, quote, the Alberta government does not cut checks to profitable corporations. So, I guess if no checks were written, can you explain how this handout was done?
Absolutely. So first of all, the thing to understand is that now it's more than $4.7 billion. We used the $4.7 billion number because that's what financial officials put into budget documents back in the fall of 2019 with the first Kenney budget. Subsequently, I think it was in April or May this year, they accelerated the corporate tax cut. So it's actually going to cost Albertans more than 4.7. So basically what it means is that corporations, and to be clear, this is profitable corporations. These are not corporations that are struggling to make ends meet. These are not corporations that are, living hand to mouth and struggling to keep people employed. These are ones that are actually making good, healthy profits. those corporations, their tax rate has been cut from 12%, which is was the second lowest in the country, and when taken into account with the absence of the sales tax, it made us easily the lowest tax jurisdiction already in the country, and they dropped it to 8%. And by doing that, they gave up a whole bunch of revenue to these corporations on the understanding that would somehow attract a new business to Alberta. In the first year after they announced that, we saw head offices pick up and move out of Alberta. We saw 50,000 jobs lost. We saw the economy contract, and we saw the deficit double. They doubled the deficit in their first year before the pandemic, before any of that stuff. So what we know is that these kinds of so-called economic strategies don't work. And there are examples of these kinds of failures in a number of states all over the U.S. And this is an old, tired strategy that only threatens people's health care, their education, and ultimately the fiscal health of the province.
No doubt. And there's a lot of people that do say that they are concerned that the government is maybe putting too many eggs in one basket in terms of economic diversity by focusing on oil and gas. So when you hear the word economic diversity, what does that mean to the NDP?
Well, I mean, let me start by saying, of course, that we believe that the oil and gas sector is an important part of the economy throughout Alberta, and certainly in throughout northern Alberta, and that we need to do what we can to support it. So I support that. But the challenge, and indeed our record was that, I mean, we worked very hard to get the Trans Mountain Pipeline going, and that's the one that's going to get built first, and that happened under our watch. We supported the company behind the Keystone and bought barrels on that to support that project as well. But the other thing of it is that we have to prepare the economy to diversify into other sectors, because we can't solely focus on oil and gas. It doesn't create enough jobs, and we need to find other ways to do that. So whether you're talking about supporting new and emerging businesses and entrepreneurs, whether you're talking about through the investment tax credit or the capital tax credit, whether you're talking about promoting more upgrading within the energy industry, so the PDP program and basically getting more value out of the instead of ripping and shipping, just actually doing more upgrading of the oil and gas products here in Alberta. Whether you're talking about attracting more tech, we were doing great work attracting tech head offices to Alberta, and then they turned around and changed direction when the Kenny government canceled the programs that were designed to bring them here. And then also renewable energy. I mean, we know that that is the future, and we should be leading in that. We are experts in energy, so why not lead in that instead of being dragged, kicking, and screaming into it? And so we were the renewable energy investment destination for the continent for 3 years under our government, and that unfortunately has also slowed considerably under the new government.
Now, Ms. Notley, you did mention very clearly that Alberta is famous for its energy, be it renewables, non-renewables, but and you mentioned a couple of sectors there, mainly the tech, but what are some other sectors in Alberta that we do not hear as much about, but yet, in your opinion, have that kind of expertise that they can share with the province, the country, and the world?
Well, certainly, our agricultural sector is a world leader on many, many fronts. Whether you're talking about, the actual growing and process and the farming and raising livestock, or whether you're talking about agri-foods or upgrading within the agriculture sector, we are leaders there on a number of fronts, and we don't spend enough time talking about that. We're also a leader in tourism. We have massive tourism resources in this province, and we could do far more. And unfortunately, we've got a government that's actually closing parks all over the province when we've got people that would love to be able to come to Alberta and spend more time here, not less. So that's really a challenge for us. And then, you know, we also, you know, quite frankly, healthcare. Healthcare, we are centers of excellence in Edmonton and Calgary, and there's lots of ways to leverage the leadership that we have already developed in this province there into exports into other jurisdictions. We had tremendous opportunities with the public lab that has been thrown away, but we still have the potential to expand our economic activity on that front.
Yeah, no doubt. And also, and I know Sarah Hoffman, your education critic, has been a regular on the hot seat, and we talked to her several times, and I know that she had a comprehensive plan on returning to school, and I guess as the leader of the official opposition, with students kind of returning to school, and you're seeing a little bit of back and forth on that now as some schools are opening, some schools reconsidering their plans, are you sensing excitement, anxiety? What kind of emotions are you hearing from parents and students and, I guess, staff as schools prepare to reopen?
Well, unfortunately, what I'm hearing mostly is frustration and anxiety from most folks. I think kids are glad to be going back to school. And let me be perfectly clear, whether you're talking to Sarah or to me or to anybody else in the NDP opposition, we absolutely want the schools to reopen. We just want them to reopen safely. Now, you know, we heard a couple of days ago the premier say, well, it's inevitable that people are going to get sick, but it's going to cost $4 billion to keep them safe, and that's just too much money. Now, first of all, that is ridiculous. It's not going to cost them anywhere near $4 billion. It's going to cost, we priced it out at around $1 billion, and we could potentially, it could even be less, and now we've got $250 million already from the federal government, so we could keep them safe. And this, of course, coming from a premier who has no problem throwing $4.7 billion over to profitable corporations, but somehow it's too expensive to focus on keeping our kids safe. And bear in mind, when we talk about keeping our kids safe, we also talk about keeping our parents and our grandparents and our aunts and our uncles safe. What we need to be doing is investing in keeping our schools safe. It can be done. There are examples of where it's been done around the world. The way to do it is very clearly laid out. The way to not do it and to fail is also clearly laid out from other people's experience. And unfortunately, Jason Kenney seems bent on following their path.
All right. And I guess one final question for you, and that's on the healthcare file, because we know that there's a very tense relationship between our province's doctors and the Minister of Health. And in saying that, though, do you think that given the way that negotiations have gone since February, do you think that this situation with our province's doctors is salvageable?
I think that, frankly, Jason Kenney has to acknowledge that they've basically broken the relationship. He's got to switch ministers. He's got to restart, go back to the table and restart negotiations. And, you know, I'll be the first to say, and I think many doctors will say as well, that they're quite willing to go to the table to negotiate. They understand the economic consequences or a situation that we are in Alberta. But this government has gone at family doctors, who are actually the people that most Albertans, you know, rely on to keep them, say, healthy. They've gone after the wrong doctors. They're going after rural doctors. They're driving doctors out of rural Alberta. This is going to hurt rural communities. It amazes me the degree to which this government absolutely and completely takes for granted their voters in rural Alberta. They think they can do anything to rural Alberta, and rural Alberta will continue to vote for them. And one of the things they've done is they've fundamentally launched an attack on healthcare in rural Alberta, and that's what we're seeing. 20 communities across this province already who are losing doctors. And so this is very urgent, because people in rural Alberta understand how important it is to have access to healthcare when they need it. And this government is jeopardizing that right now because they think they can get away with whatever they want to do in rural Alberta. So I encourage folks to step up and tell them that that's just not true.
And I guess on the final note, I'll mention it on this one too. And I guess this was mentioned because when I was chatting with Darren Billis and about economic diversification on an earlier episode, one of the things that he had mentioned, including MLA David Shepherd as well, is that they do hear quite a bit from rural residents who don't have NDP representation. Do you find that you hear quite a bit from rural residents?
Oh, yes. I mean, it's quite something, the level of frustration that we are hearing from folks, whether it's people worried about having their municipal taxes go up, skyrocket because of all the cuts to municipalities, whether it's people worried about the downloading of policing or the reduction of policing both through changing the police formula, whether it's folks, worried about the education issue, folks worried about their access to health care. There are a number of areas. Oh, and of course now the issue of making regular residents of rural Alberta pay the cost of the oil and gas losses. All those things frustrate people, and so we are hearing a lot from people. And and we're going to keep raising those issues, just as I am with you. But at the same time, people really need to hold their MLAs to account for these things. Those are the folks that are going into the House, and they should be telling their cabinet that this is just not the way to develop rural Alberta. And, oh, and again, anyway, and I'm just suddenly thinking about post-secondary, and I'm so frustrated about what's happening to access to education for young people. We can't maintain our rural communities if we are compelling our young people to travel thousands of miles to get a post-secondary education. That's so short-sighted. So anyway, we hear about it a lot, and we'll keep raising it.
Awesome. Well, Ms. Notley, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the hot seat today. Much appreciated.
Yeah, well, you take care, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you, and looking forward to being up there. We're going halfway up there next week, but I don't think we're getting much farther north in High Prairie. So next time.
All right, awesome. This is Rachel Notley, the leader of the official opposition, and this is another episode of the Hot Seat.